Amen. Thank you for your prayer requests. Let's be praying for those throughout the week. I'm going to begin a sermon series today, and it's called the Why Series. The first person we're going to look at is why Joseph was chosen. You know, it's kind of strange, out of all these men, why was he picked to be the earthly father of Jesus? But I don't think anybody is more famous for asking why questions or asking questions than little kids. And frankly, sometimes they take us by surprise. I pulled up a couple questions for you that some kids asked your mom, and I want to share them with you. A 7-year-old asked her mom why the mattress companies bothered putting any designs on the mattresses because they were just going to be covered up by sheets. And she didn't have an answer. One little 4-year-old girl asked how mermaids go potty. A son asked his mom why anyone would want a house phone because they don't even have games on them. And one little girl bulldozed into her mom's bed early one morning and asked her, "Aren't you excited about Christmas?" And the date was July 23rd. So, but what about you and I and our why questions, we ask? As a pastor, I'm sure Pastor Karen's been asked, why? If God is supposed to be in control of everything, then why is there so much evil in the world? The encompassing question, why did you let this happen to me? Why did you put me in this family? I remember sitting with a woman one day, and she was sobbing and asking why her husband had to change. When she married him, he was so kind, generous, good. He was a faithful man. But soon after their marriage, he succumbed to addictions, and her life, his life, the life of their children drastically changed. Have you ever wondered why Joseph was chosen? In our Christmas story, Joseph is no different than you and me. He has hopes. He has dreams of a new life with Mary. How exciting it is when two families come together. I know many of you have planned weddings for your sons, your daughters. I was part of my niece's wedding, hope to be part of my nephew's wedding. It's so exciting. But then this young woman comes to Joseph and she says, "I'm pregnant." And she claims she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, which reminds me of a story. A lady takes her 16-year-old daughter to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Mrs. Jones, what's the problem?" The mother says, "It's my daughter, Darla. She keeps getting these cravings. She's putting on weight and is sick most mornings." The doctor gives Darla a good examination, then turns to the mother and says, "Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but your Darla is pregnant. About 4 months, I guess." The mother says, "Pregnant? She can't be. She hasn't even been left alone with a man. Have you, Darla?" And Darla says, "No, mother, I've never even kissed a man." The doctor just leaves them. He doesn't leave the room, but he walks over to the window and he looks out. And after about 5 minutes, the mother asks him, "Is something wrong out there? Is something wrong?" And the doctor says, "No, nothing's wrong. I just don't want to miss the three wise men coming over the hill." And you could almost hear Joseph asking Mary, "Why, Mary, why did you do this to us? Why? Why, Mary, did you ruin our lives together? Why?" And maybe you've asked those questions to someone, or maybe you've been asked those questions. But today it's not about Mary. It's about Joseph. I want to take a closer look at Joseph's life. The fact that God chose this man to be Jesus' earthly father. Do you realize that Joseph was responsible for teaching him every single thing about God? How Jewish men behaved during this time period. Training him, correcting him. How hard is it to yell at the Son of God as a little boy? Telling him what's right, what's wrong. What was it about Joseph's character that stood out? Character is simply those traits. A good example is we may describe someone as being kind or generous. We may describe other people as being mean and selfish. I'll be reading from Matthew 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken or said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until after she gave birth to the son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Pray with me. God, I asked you to show us in our lives, first, how would you like to use us? And second, the blessed hope we're given. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I know there's people here today that deep within them are passionate about wanting to be used by God. It's almost like an extra burden that they carry deep within their soul. And as we look at the life of Joseph, we're going to see how he chose to serve Christ, even though he had many, many why questions. He had many, many plans. Sometimes we have to relinquish those plans that we have for ourselves and trust in the risen God and just know that the why questions will be answered one day for us. But also we're going to look at how trusting God, even when it becomes so hard, even when your eyes are blinded with tears, that God will work out everything for your good, even though it seems like your life is falling apart. And we've all been there. I've been there when I've thought, how is God going to fix this? How is God going to fix me? How will I go on? God is faithful to us today. Little is said about Joseph in this portion of Scripture, except perhaps that he's a carpenter. And what that means is that he's a humble man. He works with his hands. He's a good craftsman. He's a builder. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to possess these same gifts and abilities. Our Savior would become a carpenter. And the second thing is that he's from Nazareth. And during this time period, later on in the New Testament, it says nothing good can come from Nazareth. And so it's kind of awesome that God chose this little village to birth our Savior and Lord. And I know many of you perhaps have been referred to maybe as a child or maybe even as a young adult or as an adult. You can't do anything right. Nothing good is going to come out of your life, and on and on and on. But I'm here to tell you that God is going to do something with your life. God does have a plan for your life. Don't listen to the naysayers, but listen to the word of God and what God has for you. The passage says that he was a righteous man. What that means is he was just. He was blameless. Other translations say that he was faithful to the law. It's one thing for you and I to live faithfully to God for an hour or two while we're here in church, or perhaps when we're out in public. But how do we live when we're in the privacy of our homes? How does our Christian life come out? What are we faithful to in our lives when we're alone? In the secrets of our mind, what are we faithful to? Several years ago, I met a couple to discuss a funeral. And I was asking the couple different questions that I asked, such as any songs you would like or scriptures. And one of them just stopped me right in the arrangements and looked at me and said, "Pastor Chris, there's something that you need to know today." This man, what he did for an hour or two on Sunday morning is not how he lived his life. It was totally contrary to what he heard for that hour or two on Sunday morning. And I stopped her because I knew where she was coming from, and I said, "But let me tell you something. I spent many hours with your dad. We prayed together. We had scriptures together. I tried to impart to him the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I don't know how he lived his life then. But he could have made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ during that time." And she thanked me for that. She thanked me that her father had responded to the ministry of Jesus Christ in his life. But it's very important how we live our lives outside of the church, because that's when we're really watched. People see us coming in, but what do we do when we go out? Joseph was a man that was upright. He was a good man. What he did when he was at temple was no different than when he was outside. He was fair in his business dealings. He paid his taxes. He paid his tithe to the temple. He did everything. It says he was blameless in his life. We don't have to be blameless, but we can try to adhere to what God wants for us in our life. The Bible is very clear what's right, what's wrong, how we should act. When we accept Christ, there should be a change that's brought about in our life. The passage reveals that he was faithful. He was constant. He was steadfast. If he said something, he was going to do it. That's so very, very important when your name and your word in life is so important. Once that's ruined, it's ruined. You can get it back, but it's very, very difficult. If you say something, do it. That's how Joseph was. When I was 16 or 17 years old, I had a friend that would make plans with me. But I soon found out that if she had something better that would come along, she would call me at the last minute and cancel, especially if she had a date. I remember one time we were at school and we had plans to go out, and I think she was gonna swing by and pick me up around 7 o'clock, and she called me after school and she says, "You know, while I was at school, a guy asked me out and I'm gonna go out with him tonight." And I just learned that this is not a faithful friend, at least for me. Are we faithful? Am I faithful? In my life as a pastor, am I a faithful pastor? I sure hope so. I try to be in my life. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. When you and I go to God for forgiveness, we know we're going to be forgiven. Whatever we turn to God, God does not turn away from us. God has already turned towards us. God is faithful. And let's model our lives around that faithfulness, around the faithfulness that Joseph had in his life. What is it that Christ is wanting to trust you with today? Have you ever thought about that? What is it that Christ is wanting to do through my life? And many of you think, well, I'm retired, I'm too old. No, there's example after example in the Bible of God using people when they turned 80 years old. What is God wanting to birth through your life today? God used Joseph to be part of one of the greatest ministries given to this earth, given to you and I. And that was the life and birth of Jesus Christ. And he had to sacrifice. He had to give up. He had to change his plans. Next it says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Do you realize that we can miss serving God or miss the greatest thing that God wants to do in our life because we're afraid or we're worried about what people will say? How important is it, people's opinions of you? Oftentimes in our life, we are filled with inadequacy and fears. We do not feel we're even capable of doing things for God, but we are. I have talked to people who feel inadequate to teach, but they have a burden within them to teach. I've talked to people who would like to be involved perhaps in a children's ministry or outreach ministry, but they don't know where to start. They feel inadequate in their life. We cannot let the fear of the future hold us back to doing what God wants us to do. Those things that God wants to birth through us. It's an ever-going process, the birthing of things through people, through each generation. In Joseph's case, there were many fears and anxieties. Do you think perhaps he wanted to start off marriage with a little boy? I don't know. He wanted to bring his wife home. Now he's bringing his pregnant wife home. That was different. Their marriage had changed. What would people think in this village? You have to remember, this was a small village. Everybody knew everything about everybody else. They knew she was pregnant. That's why he wanted to divorce her quietly. She could have been stoned for being pregnant. God wanted to use Joseph to protect her, but in protecting her, he was giving himself a bad name. I knew I was called to God when I was 16 years old. I never knew I was called to be a United Methodist minister till later on in my life. And I was raised in a different denomination, and I received a lot of questions from that denomination. Like, well, Chris, can't you go like to an evangelical or maybe another Pentecostal or a church similar to ours and become a minister? Or how can a good little girl like you want to become a United Methodist minister? You know, just little jabs, you know, how people are. How can you, you know, you thought I was flying away on a broom or something, you know? And the other side was like, well, we know you're called to ministry, but are you called to be a United Methodist minister? That's what we need to figure out. So, I was volunteering at Youth for Christ here in Mansfield because I'm still very passionate about kids. And I was volunteering at an after-school program, Joshua's House. And these little kids are kind of latchkey kids. But not only are they latchkey kids, they come from pretty traumatic homes and environments. And one day somebody popped in and they said, Chris, do you remember me? And I said, sure, I remember you. And they said, well, we need some help out at the Korean church. Would you mind coming out and helping us? And I said, well, you know, I need to think about it. And so I decided to go out to the Korean church one Wednesday evening. And I found it there on Lexington Spring Mill. And I stopped because I looked at it and it said Korean United Methodist Church. And I thought, well, I've never been in a mainline church in my life. Not that there's anything wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I just had never been in one, okay? And I thought about it, and I pulled in, and that's where God kept calling and kept opening up my call, and I felt quite at home in the Korean church. I didn't know if they were speaking in tongues, speaking in Korean. You know, it didn't really matter to me. At that point, it just all sounded good to me, and it was a very, very good experience. But I had to keep pushing aside what people said to me, and I just had to learn to follow God, because every time I would try to pull myself out of becoming United Methodist minister, I would just feel the Holy Spirit welled up inside of me. And that's the only way I can describe it. Like I was going against what God had for me. I had to trust God, even though I could not see what was ahead. And so it is with Joseph. He had to trust God. He didn't know that when Jesus became 2 years old, that all of a sudden King Herod would want to kill him. And Joseph had to take his family and flee. That wasn't part of his wedding plans for him and Mary. But they had to leave. They had to go to Egypt. And it's believed that those gifts that the wise men brought them on that most holy night over 2,000 years ago was used to fund their stay in Egypt. See, that's how perfectly God plans for us. For myself, There were the fears when I had to relinquish my accounting job. How could I go to seminary? How could I incur all this debt and then get out and have my salary so reduced and have this home that I was responsible for? How could I pay on the seminary education? And by the time I graduated seminary, I graduated debt-free. It was all planned. I remember my last year of seminary, and I didn't get a dime that year. And I had a huge debt my last year. And I just said, God, you see this. You see this debt before me. You see what I'm facing. And I was at my office in Loudonville, and I was then an accountant, for people who don't know. And my boss was in the office with me. We were talking about something regarding the businesses. And I got a phone call. And I took the phone call. And here it was, the seminary calling me. And they said, hey, Chris, we want to offer you this scholarship. You were the second person chosen for it. The first person can't accept this scholarship because they have something else. So we're offering it to you. Can you accept this? And I said, well, you know, what's the, you know, pride. Well, what's the scholarship for, you know? And they said it pays for an entire year of seminary. And I was just overcome. And my boss is looking at me like, oh, geez, a family member's been killed or something. And I just kind of told her, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was the seminary, just had a question for me, and kind of slammed the phone down because I couldn't talk about it. I just couldn't talk about it because I was so overcome with that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The angel really is saying to you and I, whatever God has for you, don't be afraid. And last, it says, Joseph did not put his own needs and desires above his wife and the ministry of Jesus. The passage says that he didn't consummate his marriage until after she gave birth. Joseph was just a normal Jewish man, young Jewish man, just married. But he gave the ministry of Jesus Christ the priority. Scripture reveals this in Philippians 2. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others in your life. Serving Jesus Christ is not about position. Countless Christians have left their homes, have left their countries, and they have served the cause of Jesus Christ well. And that was Joseph. That was Joseph. I want to close with this story that I read. It's about a Sunday school teacher. Mr. Green was a great Sunday school teacher. I was in third grade at a little Baptist church in Southern California. And frankly, I don't remember a single lesson he taught in class. But he was my best teacher ever. How can that be? You asked. Because Mr. Green had qualities that transcended the ability to take a lesson from the curriculum and get me to understand it. Mr. Green was a great Sunday school teacher because he was willing to be and willing to do what it took to make a difference in my life. And that's what Joseph did. He was willing to be and willing to do what it took to make a difference in Jesus Christ's life, forgetting himself, his needs, his desires. And that's what you and I need today. We need that deep commitment to God within us, the willingness to be committed to other people and what they need in their life through Jesus Christ. Pray with me. God, we're so grateful for Joseph's example. I ask you now to work in our lives to prepare us as we go into communion. In Christ's name I pray.